welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Turn the Page. I am your host for this episode, Jen, and I am joined by a fellow Jennifer and a very talented and prolific writer who is here with a fascinating and really heartwarming and touching book about a really interesting part of English history. So let's hop right into it. Hello, welcome to the show. Could I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
Hi, my name is Jennifer Ryan, and my book is The Underground Library. It's based in, set in the Second World War in the Blitz, in the middle of the Blitz in 1940. And it involves a library in the East End of London.
It's such a fascinating story, and of course it appealed to my librarian heart to see how libraries were a part of everyday life and also a part of a really important time in history. But before we get to the book itself, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your writing career and your journey to this book. What got you interested in historical fiction, and what draws you to the topics that you write about?
I've always loved historical fiction myself, reading it. And I feel like it gives a book an extra dimension. So you have, you know, your narrative, your storyline, what's going on, and all these very interesting parts to it. But then with historical fiction, you get this extra layer there that really, it gives the reader just so much more, because you really get insight into a different era, which I think helps. I think history helps us to understand the present and the future a lot better. The Second World War is a great era to write about. I've read, this is years ago, I used to be a nonfiction book editor, and I was writing just before I became or decided to launch into writing fiction myself. I was editing a book about the war in Afghanistan, and I remember then just you just see how wars can really change the culture. They really challenge the people who were left to an address some of the issues, some of the core issues that underpin the culture, and really challenge them. So that was a lot of the reason why I decided to write about the Second World War. And obviously, I've got a personal connection with that era as well. But for me, it was just this moment in time where, you know, especially the role of women was really exploded open, you know, suddenly from a group of people that were really marginalized kept at home or kept in very menial jobs, mm-hmm. or they just survived in domestic service for, you know, their entire lives quite often. It was very frowned upon to really step outside of that part of society. And then the Second World War came along, all the men went to war, and suddenly the women had to step into their shoes, and that just made these wonderful opportunities for women that otherwise they would never have. But it also showed, because I think that there was this mainstream thought that women weren't really intelligent enough for proper jobs. They weren't really good at being managers or supervisors or anything like that. And the women just proved them wrong. Suddenly women were being educated to be doctors and mathematicians and so forth. And they were doing incredibly well, engineers as well. And they were doing very well in these roles. And I think that really showed society as a whole. It just opened it up and made it much more transparent that women were capable of these different jobs.
It's so fascinating to me, excuse me, to look at women's activities during wartime, you know, because on the one hand, war was, you know, so much considered men's sphere. that it was like a reflection of the ways in which they were limited from participating in the world. And yet, because it took all of the men, it created these opportunities for bigger roles and stuff like that. So you get this really interesting tension between, limitations placed on women and the way that they sort of break out of those limitations. I was really fascinated by the roles that women play in this story in the underground library, because you look at three different women who are working in this library at this particular moment in time, all of whom are there for different reasons. So could you talk a little bit about, after you chose this historical moment and this location of the Bethnal Green Library, how did you choose to populate it? How did you come up with your, the characters who were going to be our entry points into this story?
That's a great question. So, I really like to base my novels in history and historical fact. And there is so much wonderful and inspiring history out there, particularly about the Second World War in the UK. As you say, women are there playing a very different role to the men. The men have gone, but very often it's the women who are left who not only are taking these jobs and fighting the fight on the ground, particularly this is what happened in London, obviously, with the Blitz and many cities in Britain. And so, but not only that, but they have to carry on, they have to hold it together, they have to hold society together through this incredible storm of bombs and bombardment that they had. The buildings were being wrecked, streets were being wrecked, huge amounts of people were killed or very seriously injured. And, so it's a case of, volunteering as an ambulance driver, as one of our women does, or helping to out by being a nurse, or helping. Most people had some other job that they were doing outside of their normal job, that was in some way to support the war effort, or to support the people who were remaining, how support them while they survive the war. So our first character, Juliet, she is, as I described earlier, there was a lot of women giving lots of opportunities. So she was a librarian from one of the regions, and she was given this amazing opportunity to be a deputy head librarian in this big library in East London, because the man who normally did that job had gone to war. So off she goes into London, and she's new on the scene. She joins the ambulances, and she goes through quite a big dramatic transition herself as she realizes what she really wants from life and how much she is capable of doing. So the second character is Sylvie, who is a Jewish refugee from Berlin in Germany, and she is one of the thousands of women who escaped Nazi Germany before the Second World War and came to live and work in the UK. So at the time before the Second World War, not many countries in Europe were taking refugees at all of any type because they could see that war was on the horizon and no one wanted to take that risk. But there were some humanitarian groups in the UK that fought very hard in order to allow at least some Jewish people to come into Britain. And the way that they finally agreed with the government was because there was a shortage of domestic servants in the UK at the time. They said if a Jewish person has a domestic service letter of employment, they can come over and take up work. So that enabled a lot of Jewish women to come over. It's predominantly women because that's what the domestic service jobs were It wasn't only the women. There were some men who got gardening jobs or a job as a handyman or a butler, but mostly it was women. A lot of these women came from quite wealthy families, from the city, and they found it very difficult. They all had, I don't know many examples of, these women having very good experiences. Quite often they were taken advantage of by their employees. Even Jewish employees would, take advantage of the situation because if their job fell through for one reason or another, they might lose their visa. So poor Sylvia is in this situation. She's the only servant of this awful man, who works her to a bone. And so she meets the women from the library, Juliet particularly, and finds this whole life of books and belonging and being part of something that she really didn't feel beforehand. So the third woman in this trio is Katie. She is also very young. She's 18 years old. She's between high school and college, and she's just working there at the beginning of during the summer holidays, so the summer. And I won't go too much into her story because that would be a spoiler. Suffice to say that she has a lot of drama in her life as the story progresses. And once again, everything that happens to her is based on a number of different real life stories of women who find themselves in this situation.
I'd love to know, what sort of research you did, to find these stories because they are so interesting and they really reveal the wide variety of backgrounds and ages and, class statuses that these women came from, even though they all ended up in the same space, sort of working on the same things. Like it brought so many people together from so many different walks of life. So could you talk a little bit about your research and, in particular, like, I guess this is a general question too, sort of like when you are researching a new topic for a book, like when does that aha m moment happen? When you're like, oh, this is a novel or this is a new book in the making. Is it like encountering a particular type of story or person or like what's that like for you?
Those are both very good questions. So, first of all, I have done over the years an awful lot of research about the Second World War. So, I own myself an awful lot of books of collected letters and diaries from people written during the war. There's this amazing source of material that comes from something called the mass observation, which is like just before the Second World War began, a couple of sociologists in Britain decided to establish this diary writing club, basically. That went out to the entire nation, encouraging people to write journals and to send in their entries. And the way this worked was that they produced a newsletter every month, and your entry might appear in the newsletter. So that was the incentive for people to do it. But quite often they just wanted to be part of something and to, quite often they liked rewriting themselves as well. It was their time to actually have something they'd written published. So I think it started off with about 600 people doing it. They put out an announcement on the radio to see if people would get involved. And at the beginning, it was about 600. And by the end of the war, there were about 5,000 people doing it. So it really grew in number. I think a lot of that was because people had personal stories that they wanted to share. Anyway, so that itself is just an incredible source of information, the day-to-day life of people and what they went through, particularly women. There were an awful lot of women who kept these journals. And it really showed the change of women and what they felt they were capable of doing. And, in some of the ways that they really made a significant change in people's lives on the ground in the war. So that's another source. Also, I've spent a lot of time talking to people. I've interviewed a lot of people in Britain about the war and in America as well. And it's just such an interesting time, and it's so incredible. I mean, my first interest in the Second World War really came from my grandmother. When I was growing up, we used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother, and she was a very jovial woman, and she was always telling us all these stories about the Second World War. They were always funny stories, and she always put a little twist on them to make them funny and fun and everything. And I realized later on was that the government really encouraged people to have funny stories and share them and share jokes. And in order to keep people's in order to keep people happy and to keep their focus off some of the more miserable parts of the war, they really encouraged people to do that. So I'm sure that's why she has such a big stock of funny stories about the war, was because people used to share them all the time. It was part of the war culture. So it's amazing how many more stories that you get from chatting to people. Everyone has their own tales that they can tell. So that brings me on to my next part of my research. What has been very useful to me is the BBC website has a there's a resource in it where you can download all of your memories from the Second World War. And they started it, thank goodness, about 20 years ago when people could remember it who were still alive, because sadly, I'd say a lot of them might have not still be alive today. Anyway, so there's an awful lot of information up there. People just telling they either give a sort of memoir of what happened to them during the war, or they tell the parts that they remember, the parts that really stand out in their mind. And there's a couple of parts in this that I've included actually in the book. And when you read something like that, I don't tend to make a note of it. I just remember, because quite often it's those standout moments. The way you think, wow, that was really heroic. That was an incredibly brave thing to do. Or, wow, that must have been extraordinary to be there and to be part of that. Those moments really stay in your mind. And so when you come to writing a book, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember reading about a woman who did dot, dot, dot. And then you can go back into your sources and find out the original and reread it and try to work out how you can make this into the book or add this into the book.
That is so, those are both such fascinating resources, and it really does give you a very interesting glimpse at, I think, the other side of war, because the way that history is traditionally written tends to, focus on the stories of great men and movements of armies and diplomatic decisions. But this sort of like these stories of the sort of on the ground experiences of everyday people who are, just navigating their lives while this is going on around them, like really do create these really great moments for like for empathy, I think, and for like really feeling into the experiences of the people who came before you. One thing I'd love to ask about is how you handle like world building, let's call it. Oftentimes, like when we talk about world building, like we are talking about science fiction authors or fantasy authors. But like when you're doing history, you are also building a world that doesn't really quite exist anymore, And so when you approach your setting, when it is a real setting in a real time, how do you go about building that world?
A really interesting question. So I think that The first thing that you do is you go to these places. So it was fascinating to go to Bethnal Green Library and see, because it is a very old building. It was standing a long time before the Second World War. And it's very interesting even going there, because they have photographs of what it looked like and everything as well. So well worth a visit if anyone's in London. Secondly, of course, you can actually see photographs of how places would look during the war and before the in the 1930s and the 40s. You would know what someone's house looks like, what someone's kitchen looks like. I think for one of my previous books, The Kitchen Front, I did an awful lot of research. It was fascinating about what a kitchen would look like, what kind of instruments they would have, what kind of machinery, what would they have fitted cabinets, or would it be, standalone items? And it's just fascinating how people live there, how it would smell, what it would look like. I mean, in many ways, I remember my grandmother's kitchen as well, and her house, and the way she would do things. She would have been about 20, I think, at the time that the war began. And so she would be of that era, definitely. And when you grow up, you grow up surrounded by people who are continually talking about the Second World War, which wasn't that long before I was born myself. So yeah, all of these things go to help bring up to build this, create this situation in my mind. Yeah.
That's so interesting. And it's such a fascinating story, and I loved having insight into your process and also into this, I think at least from the, American perspective, a very overlooked part of the war experience. And what I really love, I think, is its message about how books can also function in a society. Because I think we also talk about books as, this is maybe a little personal. My mom used to criticize me for being antisocial because, I always had my nose in a book. But books can really bring people together too, and I think that that's something that this book illustrates really gorgeously.
Oh, thank you. I think that's so right. I belong to a book club here, and I'm sure that everyone who belongs to a book club really understands how talking about books, first of all, is just wonderful, to go through this experience on your own and then be able to discuss it with somebody else. But I think book clubs are great because you end up talking about things that you would never otherwise talk about. Before you know it, you're delving into somebody's past life, and you're talking about all your different experiences that have anyway been the same, or your family members, your ancestors, how they were involved in the war, or how you would deal with that situation. I just think it's absolutely fascinating. It really is. In the book, there's this wonderful moment when one of the characters gives a 13-year-old girl a copy of Little Women, and says, and she presses it in her hands, and she says, "You've got to read this. It's one of my favorite books." And that is based on this love that I have, and I think a lot of other readers love it too, of sharing books that you love. I mean, it's just a book. It's something you could kind of have in your bag or something, and you just take it out, but it's packed full of so much meaning and so many meaningful moments. It's so much more than just, a bunch of papers stuck together. And I really love that moment, and I really wanted to kind of put that out there, and really hope that people understood and were with me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I cannot wait to put this book into people's hands. I think that our community here in Syosset is really going to love it. It's a really just beautiful and inspiring story. And thank you so much for coming by to talk about it. It's been really lovely.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun.
All right, listeners, it's your turn. Please go check out the Underground Library. I think you'll really love it. By the time that you listen to this, it will be out in the world. So please go to your favorite library, whether it's underground or not, or bookstore, wherever you like to go. Thank you so much for joining us. It is now time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.